All of one blood. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, we're given a short description of the physical appearance of the Apostle Paul. He tells us what people were saying about him. And he said these words, "For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." And that little phrase about Apostle Paul's physical structure, his bodily presence is weak. Now, although the scriptures do not tell us historically, it is written about the appearance of the Apostle Paul. And one man says about the Apostle Paul that he was a little man, crooked, and almost bent like a bow. Now, this is what they were writing historically about the Apostle Paul. As people listened to them, they wrote these words about this man. He's just a little man. He's stooped over. There's something wrong with him. He's bent like a bow. Now, why this may be true of him physically, he was a giant of a man spiritually. And the Apostle Paul was a great man of God. We can see this from his salvation, how God called him, Christ called him from heaven, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And this man who hated Christ, who hated Christianity, who was lost in his sin, found himself falling down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was converted. He was a great man in his salvation. You can see that in his service. He traveled thousands of miles preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Commentators are agreed that this man traveled about 10,000 miles on foot. On foot. There's no flights. There was no motor cars or trains in those particular days. He traveled around 10,000 miles by foot in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he said himself about his service. In Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle unto the gospel of God. Here's a man, he said, "My life, I'm separated. I'm separated from family, from friends, from everything around. I'm separated unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I give my whole life to this thing, the service of God and the preaching of the gospel." And you can think about how he suffered greatly. You can only have to read over 2 Corinthians chapter 11, how this man was beaten, how he was shipwrecked, how he was hated, how he was in danger as he went out and preached the word of the living God. It talks about Paul's sight here in this passage, verse 16. He finds himself in Athens. And here he is in a strange city, a city that is full of darkness and a city that is full of sin. And it tells us what he sees when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And one writer says to the Apostle Paul that he sees a sight he had never beheld before. A city given over to idolatry. One historian says that it was far easier to find a god in that city than a man. That's how great this city had stooped to idolatry. When this writer, this historian said, it was far, far easier to find a false god on the streets than to find a man. The Apostle Paul had never seen the likes of this superstition and sin before. "Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image," was raging in his ears. He knew the law and he knew the word of God. God forbid this. He saw their darkness. He saw their sin. As he looked around at all this idolatry, and then his eyes fell, it says in verse 23, in his sight, an altar. The unknown God. Because these people were so superstitious. They had a god for this and a god for that. They were so afraid within their heart that they would miss a god. So they said, "We better build an altar." And here's a title we'll put upon it: "To the Unknown God." And that'll cover all. And the Apostle Paul saw this. And so we have his Paul's sermon. He starts to preach to this people. He wants them to find the true and the living God. He wants this people to be redeemed and to be saved. And so he starts to preach to them about the true God. And we read some of the words together. He tells them about God's person there in verse 29. For as much then as we are not of the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone. And he said, listen, do you see all these idols? Oh, this idolatry. The Godhead is not, he says. God is not gold. He's not silver. He's not stone. No, dear friends, he's not, he says. He goes on to tell them here about God created the world. You can see that in verse 24. God that made the world and all things are in. He's telling them about the true God of the Bible. How God is everywhere. In him we live and move and have our being. And he's proclaiming to this people about God, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God who has made us. And that's what he brings us to in the verse 26. Remember, he's speaking to a people who are in darkness, a people who's in sin. He says to them, the words of our text, and has made of one blood all nations of men. And he says, God has made all of us, of one blood. In other words, he's saying, we're all the same. We're all the same. We're all of one blood. And I want you to think of that little phrase. One blood. One blood. One blood of all nations. And you see why he said it. I'll give you some reasons here. Their nature is all the same. Mankind's nature is all the same all over the world. Doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter what country, what part of the world you go to. Man's nature, it's all the same. It's all the same. I'll give you four reasons. They're from the same family. The same family. The family of the human race is one family. And notice I said the human race, not races. It's not plural. It's one blood. Verse 26, and have made of one blood all nations of men. And when God created the world, so we believe this, when we turn to the book of Genesis, we believe that it is God that created the heavens and the earth, and it was God who created man. We find that over in the book of Genesis. In chapter 1, and verse 26, where God is speaking. And they're speaking within the Godhead. And God said, let us make man in our image. And remember, God is creating the world. He's going to place his masterpiece. His masterpiece. He's going to make him. He makes man. Let's make man, he said. And let's make him in our image. Righteous. Spiritual. But given power. He's going to rule over here the universe. And the Bible tells us how God made man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And then it tells us how Eve was taken out of the rib, the side of Adam. And God made Adam and Eve. And so we find here's the commencement of the human race. Here's the commencement of one blood. Adam and Eve. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe this is the start of the human race? Because it is a start. And here Paul is preaching to these people, and he's telling them how God hath made of all nations one blood. And when we go back, here it is. Here's the start, we can really say, in a sense, of the production line. Made by the power and made by the hand of God. God is making man. One family. One blood. One blood. Adam and Eve. And then you can find the continuance of mankind. Of course, sons and daughters are born. The human race increased. And it's all one family. church, all one family in a natural sense. And think of the words of God in Malachi chapter 2 when we go to the end of the Old Testament. Now we're at the beginning how it all commenced. You can follow it right through. When you come to the end of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi says in chapter 2 verse 10, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? He's preaching the same sermon that Paul is preaching here at Athens. Have we not one God? Has it not one God who created us? Listen, one blood, one race, one people. The same family. The same family. I tell you, we did not come out of apes. We came out of the mind and the hand of God. And the nations did not spring from different sources, but from one source. And they were not made, I say to you tonight, of one blood, of different blood, but of one blood. One Father. The human race has one Father. And that's God. And there's people tonight who hasn't heard about him. Do you remember these people at Athens had their idolatries, had their idols? And Paul is telling them, he's telling them about the true and only and the living God. There's only one, you see. He even quoted one of the poets here in verse 28, or we are also his offspring. And so what's the lesson here? One blood is found in the family. And you and I can look over the world and see all the different nations, but remember, it's one blood. We're all part of the human family that God has made. Think not only the family of the human race, think of the features of the human race. The features show that no matter where you go in the world, man is the same. Now, of course, there are people born with deformities, and we've no doubt about that. But man's the same all over the world. Do you ever find a half man, half monkey? Do you ever find things like that? All the same. Some of us have been in different countries in the world in our travels. Man is just the same. They may be different shape, different personalities, but they have their head, they have their arms, they have their hands, they have their feet, they have their eyes, they have their nose, their ears, their tongue. They're just the same. Because God has made of all nations of one blood. They tell us that you can take any two people from different places all over the world and they only differ in 0.2%. Because here's the reason why. They're part of the human race. One blood. One blood. I grant it. In some countries, man is more advanced. That's because of God's goodness. Because we have been placed, say, in Northern Ireland and not in a jungle somewhere in Africa or some other place. That's all to do with the privileges of life. The features of the human race, dear friend, shows us it's one blood. It's one family. Oh, there's different countries, are there not? Of course there is. Verse 26 tells us why. You see in verse 26, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times beforehand and the bounds of their habitation. And so what is it telling us here? That God set man all over the world in different countries, different nationalities, different places. Why is it? Why is it we were placed in Northern Ireland? Because that's where God placed us. That's why. Not born in some other place in the world. He has set our boundaries. He has set the place where we are born. And that's what we find. They tell us that about 195 sovereign states in the world, if you include the Vatican City, which is an independent country by itself, and Palestine, there's 197. All these different nations, all over the world. But I say to you tonight, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you put your finger on the world map. We're all the same. We're all the same. It doesn't matter where you put it. It doesn't matter what country. It doesn't matter what nation. We're one blood. but one blood. That's the teaching of the Bible. There may be different countries. Of course, there's different communications, that's languages. It tells us there's about 7,000 languages in the world that we know of. How can this be? How can this be? Well, when you go to Genesis chapter 11, it tells them about going to build the Tower of Babel, and God comes down and scatters the people and confuses their tongues, and they're sent here, there, and yonder. They cannot communicate with one another. God does something upon the hearts of men, but we actually say in the very tongues of people, and they're speaking in different languages. That's why there's different languages today. That's why people's living here, there, and yonder across the world. Different nationalities. It tells us that Paul is preaching to these people about this nation of people, the family, the human family race is one blood. Of course, there's different languages. There's different communications. There's different countries. There's different colors. We know that. We know that, of course. Black, white, red, or yellow. We see it all before our eyes. Someone would say, where did the first black man come from? So the first person ever in the world was not white. The Adam was mid-brown. And remember this, God can make people any color he wants. He can do it. It depends where you live and all these things going on that brings about the color of people. So we find here that these features, the features all over the world in the human race shows that we're one family, we're one blood. Many who have questioned the human race and says we're all different. Different race of people. It is not so. It is not so according to the word of God. It's one. One blood. And the fall shows us also that it's one human race. The scriptures, of course, teach that Adam and Eve fell and fell into sin. And the whole world, of course, fell with them. One particular writer says, the Bible does not picture man as a risen creature, but as a fallen one. And when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and God says, don't be touching that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. When God gave the law of God to Adam and Eve, and they sinned against God, something happened to the human race. What happened? They fell. And they fell greatly. How dare anybody disobey God? God, you can disobey some man. We can disobey one another. But to disobey God, who is Lord, who is King, who is the Almighty, that's a great sin. And they disobeyed. And they fail. And Romans 5 tells us, verse 19, for us by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Many, the human race was made sinners. When Adam fell, I said to you tonight, we all fell. Everyone of different nations, all fell. We fell in Adam, and we sinned against God. You look tonight across the world, what do you see? A fallen human race. Is there any country you can go to in the world tonight that you not find sin? Is there? Is there any country you can go to and not find wickedness or evil? Dear friends, there's none. No matter where you go, there's death, there's trouble, there's sin, there's wickedness. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 22, there's no difference. Apostle Paul is preaching here. He says, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And no matter where you go tonight, it's a sinful and it's a wicked world. Because it's one blood. And we're all the same. No matter what country you go to. The frailty of the human race shows it as well. One out of one dies. And that's true of every country. Every country in the world tonight has been touched with the hand of death. Romans 5 verse 12 tells us, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And all over the world are people tonight dying, and the human race is dying. And different nations, there are funerals. Some are embalmed. Some are burnt. Some are buried. That shows us we're one. By one race. A ruined, fallen, sinful race. As one writer said, the two greatest facts in life are sin and death. All over the world we find this. Man is dying. Man is lost. By nature, a child of wrath, heading down towards hell. It doesn't matter what country. It doesn't matter what people you face. That's why the Apostle Paul could stand and preach to these people who were steeped up to the neck in adultery. You could preach in the gospel. Because we're all the same. We're all the same. There's one human race. And there's one blood. And this is the truth the Apostle Paul set before his hearers about the one blood of all nations. And so I said to you tonight, we're all the same. We see many people of different nationalities. Especially we do open air preaching now in different towns. There's people from all different parts of the world. It's really remarkable that people that's in our province today are living from different countries. And we're all one blood. And we're all the same. And lost without a Savior. So my voice finds you tonight. You're lost without a Savior. You're in sin against God, heading down towards a lost eternity. You see, friends, you're part of this race. That's one blood. You're not different. Some people think you're different. Some people think I'm better. You're wrong. You're wrong. We're all sinners in God's sight. One blood. Can I say it? Their nature's the same. Their need is the same. All mankind has the same spiritual need. The need to find God. They need forgiveness of sins. I said to you tonight, they need a Savior. And the answer to people all over the world tonight is this. They need one blood. And what do I mean by this? They need the blood of Christ. That's what they need. The answer is in the blood. And I love that hymn that we sang tonight at the opening, especially with the alternative tune. The alternative tune changes that hymn. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's the answer. And I said tonight, that's the answer to the whole human race. And there's only one answer. And that's Jesus Christ. Only one answer. It's the blood. For all. The only answer. I found the Apostle Paul could have felt like taking his hands and tearing down those idols. Chopping them into the ground. It's not the answer. It's the blood that's the answer. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, friends. I could be here all night and so could you if I repeat to you about the blood. What about the precious blood of Jesus? We're talking this morning here about precious thoughts. Oh, in 1 Peter 1 verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's so precious. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where Paul was speaking to the elders at Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock unto which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Notice these words which he has purchased with his own blood. And he talks about the church of God. The church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. The blood of God. The blood of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's precious. It was John Owen, he said, he suffered not as God, but he who suffered was God. The God-man, Christ became man and shed his blood for sinners. Martin Luther said, one drop of Christ's blood is worth more than heaven and earth. Oh, it's precious blood that you need tonight to save you. Atoning blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. I say to you tonight, it's atoning blood. His blood was shed to make a propitiation for our sins. He died in our place. He took our sin. He took our punishment. He endured the wrath of God. He was making a sacrifice to appease God's wrath. And dear friends, Christ stood between us and the wrath of God, an atoning victim. Atoning blood. Do we not sing of him? Have you read the story of the cross where Jesus bled and died when the debt was paid by his precious blood that flowed from his wounded side? He died an atoning death for thee. He died an atoning death. Oh, wondrous love it was for thee. He died an atoning death. And this is what man needs. He needs someone to be punished for their sin. Dear friends, there's one blood. It's Jesus' blood. He died an atoning death. If you're all saved here tonight, Christ died in our place to satisfy God's wrath and justice and paid the price. Oh, it's cleansing blood. 1 John 1 verse 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, it cleanses us from all sin. In Revelation, you see the great crowd who came out of Revelation. He said, who are these people? Who's this great multitude? So these are they which come out of the great tribulation. And notice the words, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's who they are. That's who's in heaven. Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, friends, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else can remove the stain of sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you're unsaved tonight, your needs are same. You need by faith to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's it. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Jesse Ryle said, of one blood we were all born. In one blood we all need to be washed. And that's true. Oh, wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. One blood's the answer. Redeeming blood. Redemption through his blood. In fact, in Revelation 5, verse 7, thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. We need to be redeemed from sin and from Satan. Oh, there's power in the blood to do this. Do we not sing that hymn, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of a lamb, forgiving blood. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ we get forgiveness of sins. Every sin rolls away through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, saving blood. The Bible says, being thou must justified by his blood, we shall be saved. That wonderful. We shall be saved from wrath through him, justified by his blood. And notice the words, saved. We think of the Passover, and God says to Moses, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Get the blood on the door lintels. Get the blood on the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I'm looking for the blood. And when I see the blood, you're saved. And that's the way it is today. God's not looking at your church. He ain't looking at your works. He ain't looking at your deeds. He's looking for the blood. That's what he's looking for. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's salvation through the blood. That's why these people were exhorted. They were exhorted to seek God. He says to them there in the verse 27. That they should seek the Lord. I mean, oh, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. They were called to repent in verse 30. They were talking about the judgment. We find in verse 34, there were people who believed. They believed what Paul said. He preached to them Jesus Christ and the resurrection. to come to Christ to be washed in the blood. And people believed. And the message, friend, of course there were people who did not believe it. But there were people there, verse 34 tells us, accepted the message and were saved. And that's the need of all men. There's one blood. Thank God there's a fountain open today for sin and for uncleanness. It says in Leviticus 17, the life is in the blood. I know it's talking about the human flesh here, but it's true spiritually. Life is in the blood. Jesus Christ died to save us. And there's no other Savior. And there's no other way to God. And there's no other hope for anybody but one blood. So we have a double lesson tonight from that little phrase. It shows that we're all the same. And we all have the same need. I wonder tonight, can you say, I have been to Jesus for the cleansing power, and I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if not, repent tonight. He tells these people to repent. God has commanded men everywhere to repent and to come to Christ and to seek Him. And it talks about judgment, and it talks about that day when everyone will stand before God. Well, dear friends, too late then to apply the blood. You need the blood applied before you die, before you're lost, before you're called out to stand before God. It's time. It's time tonight to seek the Lord. And if God has touched anybody's hearts, I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. Maybe there's young people here tonight not saved. Come to the fountain. Come to the blood of Jesus Christ, and He'll wash away your soul. If I can help anyone, do speak with us. We're here to help people tonight. And we pray God to bless the preaching of the gospel to all of our hearts.